Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Friday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm continuing a series that I started this last Monday talking about lessons from the Christmas story. And I have an album on this, a four-part album where I teach on this. We've already covered the first teaching. We ended that yesterday. And now we are going to begin to start talking about how to conceive a miracle. And this will be going into the actual scriptures that talk about the angel Gabriel appearing to Mary and her conception and the birth of Jesus. And of course, I've made this statement before, but we hear these scriptures quoted a lot at this time of the year. And with many people, it's just become kind of a tradition. Some scriptures that they use to set a mood, and they think about the birth of a little baby, and they don't understand the miraculous things that are really involved in this. And yet the scriptures that I'm going to be reading with you, the truths that I will start sharing today, and then we will continue it into our next week's program, these are some of the most profound things that the Lord has ever shown me. As a matter of fact, this teaching on lessons from the Christmas story, I was just talking with one of my employees as we got started, and I think three of my major series that I teach were birthed out of these lessons from the Christmas stories. For instance, the one that I'm teaching on this week, talking about how to conceive a miracle, that has developed into a teaching that I call the authority of the believer. And this is one of the things. I just took this truth that I shared in this series on lessons from the Christmas story, and I developed it into an entire series talking about the authority of the believer. And then the one on the gospel of peace, that is the one that I use on The War is Over. And that developed into another whole series. So I just say all of these things to say that this is super important. These are some of the most foundational things in the Bible. Some of the things that I mean just set a tone for everything else that God has shown me comes through these things. And sad to say, a lot of people read these verses at the Christmas time, and they are using it to set a mood, and they miss all of the tremendous truths that are in there. So I'm praying that the Holy Spirit will open up your heart and help you to understand some of these profound truths that are in this very, very familiar passage of Scripture. I tell you, if you can get this, it would transform your life. So in Luke chapter 1, verse 26, it says, "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth." First of all, let me just say, the sixth month of what? You know, a lot of people read this and never think about it. But if you read the previous verses, this was talking about that right after God appeared to Zacharias in the temple, he went home, his wife conceived, and it talks about the birth of John the Baptist being prophesied. And this was the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. So 6 months after Gabriel had appeared unto Zacharias, then he came and he appeared unto Mary. And in verse 27, it says, "To a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary." You know, I could make a much greater issue out of this, but for anybody who really is committed to the Word of God, this point ought to be obvious, and it ought not to be compromised. But there are other translations that will say to a young girl or to a damsel, and they leave out the virgin. And I tell you, the whole birth of Jesus is dependent upon this being a virgin birth. You know, the Bible says that the life of flesh is in the blood. And if Jesus would have just been the product of two sinful human beings, then he would have had that sin nature in him. He would have been nothing but just another man. And it didn't matter how much God anointed him, how powerful he was, how much he listened to God, how much he walked with God. If Jesus was only a man, then his life would have only been worth the life of one other man. But if Jesus was God manifest in the flesh, which is what the Bible teaches, then that made His life worth more than the entire human race. And this is a pivotal point, that Jesus was born of a virgin, and it's very clearly stated here in the King James and in any reputable translation, but there are some people who are reading translations that it's taken this out and it inserts the word damsel or young maid, and that is just not accurate. Twice in this verse it says that Gabriel was sent to a virgin, a spouse to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Whoa, what a great salutation. What a wonderful thing to have an angel say unto you. But look at this in verse 29. When she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. You know, this is amazing to me. Mary was a very godly person. She was seeking God. She was sensitive to God. And yet, when a messenger of God, an angel, appeared and had a wonderful greeting, Hail, you that are highly favored, the Lord is with thee. What a wonderful thing to say. She was troubled at that. You know, again, this shows the influence of religion and our old sin nature, how that we just expect gloom and doom and despair and agony and wrath and punishment from God. If this angel would have appeared and said, You sorry thing, she'd have probably said, Oh, this is God. But when he appears and says, Hail, you that are highly favored, the Lord is with thee, she was troubled at that saying and thought, What kind of greeting is this? You know, it's amazing how our sin nature has separated us from God, and we just expect wrath and rejection from God. But the truth is that He has given us favor, especially this side of the cross. After Jesus died and paid for our sins, we ought to expect the welcome of God, the acceptance of God. Matter of fact, over in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6, it says, We have been made accepted in the Beloved. And you know the word, the Greek word that is used there for accepted is only used twice in Scripture, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6, and also right here in Luke chapter 1, where it says, Thou that art highly favored. That is the same Greek word. So the same Greek word that the angel used to greet Mary and said, You are highly favored. That is the exact same word that Ephesians 1, 6 says about you and me, that we have been accepted in the Beloved. We are now highly favored because of what Jesus did for us. We need to be expecting a positive greeting from the Lord instead of wrath and rejection and punishment. In verse 30, it says, And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. You know, to many of us, these phrases that are used here don't have the same significance and the same impact that they had to Mary. But all of these are referring back to Old Testament prophecies. And these are direct quotations from some of these Old Testament prophecies about the Messiah and who He would be. So the terminology that Gabriel was using was speaking specifically to Mary that this is the Messiah. This is God manifest in the flesh. You are the one that Isaiah prophesied about in Isaiah chapter 7, where it said this in verse 14, Therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and he shall call his name Emmanuel. The word Emmanuel means God with us. All of the phrases, I mean down to every single word, was Gabriel referring to Jewish prophecy and things that were speaking volumes to Mary. So this very clearly was telling her that she was going to have God birth the Messiah through her, a virgin birth. Boy, this is powerful. This is very significant. And look at Mary's response in verse 34. She said unto the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" And again, the terminology here in biblical times, when it says, "I know not a man," that was referring to sexual relationship. In Genesis, it says that Adam knew his wife Eve and that she conceived. So the biblical terminology for know is talking about sexual intercourse. And she is saying, how could this happen since she hadn't had a physical relationship with a man? Now, I want you to contrast this with what happened to Zacharias. When this same angel, Gabriel, appeared unto Zacharias, Zacharias says, how can this be? His was a question, and it basically was nearly the same wording, but the heart attitude is what matters. I made this point earlier when we were talking about Zacharias, but it's not really wrong to ask God a question if you're just wanting clarification, if you aren't doubting Him. For instance, Mary here says, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" In other words, I'm a virgin. How's this conception going to take place? If Abraham would have asked for some clarification when God told him that he was going to have a child, you know what? It could have avoided this whole thing with Hagar, his wife's handmaid, and the whole Arab-Israeli conflict might have been avoided. I mean, Ishmael, the son that came through Hagar, was the father of all of the Arabs. And, of course, Isaac was the promised seed. That was the father of all of the Jews, and this whole thing happened because a man did not get clarification. There's nothing wrong if the Lord tells you that He's going to do something and you say, "Father, how is it going to happen? Do you want me to do something? Do you want me to take a step of faith? Is there anything you want me to do?" As long as you're asking for clarification, that's a good thing. And I believe that you can tell by the angel's response here that he explained things to Mary, whereas he struck Zacharias with dumbness. Zacharias was asking this out of doubt and unbelief, and God did not care for that. Mary asked out of just inquisitive information, "How is this going to happen? What do you want me to do? She was already betrothed to Joseph. Is this going to happen after our marriage, and is this going to happen through a natural relationship with a man, or what's going to happen?" Man, her question here was okay because it was just for information. It wasn't an unbelief. And here is how Gabriel responded. In verse 35, it says, "And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." And again, this terminology, we have used the term Son of God, and people have tried to explain it away, and because of use, it's become nearly a cliche. But did you know that this was very definite? It was very detailed when Gabriel told Mary that he is going to be the Son of God. In other words, this is not going to come through a union between you and Joseph. This isn't going to be a natural birth. It is going to be an absolutely supernatural birth. And as I've already mentioned earlier in the program, this virgin birth of Jesus is critical to understand everything. If Jesus would have been just a normal union of two people, then He wouldn't have been God. I don't care how anointed He was. I don't care what power He had, what revelation He had. He would have only been a man pointing the way to God. But the Scriptures make it very clear that Jesus was born of a virgin and that God the Father was the Father of Jesus and that Jesus was God manifest in the flesh. You know, there's a lot of Scriptures that say this, but let me just turn over to one of them right here. I believe it's 1 Timothy. And it says, "Great is the mystery of godliness." And then it says, "God was manifest in the flesh and preached unto the world and seen of angels and received up into heaven." But it specifically says God was manifest in the flesh. And that very verse that I've already read, the quotation from Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. It says, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a child, and you shall call his name Emmanuel." The word Emmanuel means God with us. Jesus is God manifest in the flesh. And this is one of the lessons that you can learn from the Christmas story. You know, people read these verses and they talk about the birth of a little baby, and there are people that will say, "Oh yes, Jesus was a great example. He may even be the greatest example of love and a person who preached peace and that gave his life for others." And yet they don't accept him as God. You know, in the 10th chapter of the book of Mark, verse 17, there was a rich young ruler that came and threw himself at Jesus' feet, and he says, "Good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And you've got to remember at the time that Jesus was really being persecuted by the scribes and the Pharisees, and they said in John chapter 9 that if anybody acknowledged Jesus to be the Messiah, he would be kicked out of the synagogue. He'd be excommunicated. So this man was willing to come and throw himself and publicly identify with Jesus. That looks pretty good. Most people would think that's awesome. But Jesus knew that this man's heart wasn't right. And so he said, "Either call me God or quit calling me good." There's only one good, that's God. So from this time on, you call me God or quit calling me good. And the man responded by saying, "Master." He had said, "Good master," before. After Jesus challenged him on that, he just dropped the "good." Jesus basically said, "Call me God or quit calling me good." So he dropped the "good" and just called him master, because he was not willing to acknowledge Jesus as God. And Jesus used this man's attitude towards money to reveal that he wasn't really committed to God the way that he was professing to be. He says, "Sell everything you've got and give it to the poor, and then come and follow me." And later in that same chapter, Mark chapter 10, I believe it's around verse 30 or 33, it says, "There is no man that hath left house or father or mother or brother or sister or lands for my sake in the gospel, but what he will receive 100-fold in this life with persecutions, and in the world to come everlasting life." Jesus wasn't trying to take from this man. He was trying to give to him. He would have gotten back 100-fold in this life, not just in heaven, in this life. He would have been even more rich if he would have done what the Lord told him. But the Lord used his attitude and his trust and dependence on money to show that he was not truly committed to God. He had put his money and what his money could do for him ahead of God. And so my point on all of this is that this virgin birth shows that Jesus was the Son of God, just exactly the way that the angel said to Gabriel. Jesus is God manifest in the flesh, and you cannot accept him as anything less. I actually had a man. Matter of fact, the man who built this set for us, he had just built some set for some very famous movie stars, and he came and built this set, he and his crew. And I was talking to them as they were building this set. And I, of course, was talking to him about Jesus. And he says, "Now, don't get me wrong. I believe that Jesus is the greatest example of love that we've ever seen. He was a powerful man, but there are many paths to God." And he said, "I just believe that, you know, we ought to embrace all religions." Man, I hate these stickers that say coexist. I don't know if you've seen those, and it has the symbol of the Islam and Jews and Christians and all of these things. And it basically just says, "Let's all get along with one another." You know what that's saying? That's a person who believes nothing. And so therefore it's fine for whatever you believe, because I don't believe anything, and let's just all coexist. But if you believe the gospel, that Jesus is God, then that changes Christianity from any other religion on the face of the earth. Jesus wasn't just a man who was representing God and telling us about God. Jesus was God in the flesh. And here's what Jesus said of himself in John chapter 14, verse 6. He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me." Jesus didn't just say, "Well, I'm one avenue to God. I'm just giving you a little representation of how we should love one another and things. See, this is what some people try and extrapolate from this, and they have to embrace Jesus because there is more information, there is more historical proof that Jesus lived and died and rose from the dead than there is of Caesar. And some of you may disagree with that, but I've read a number of things on this, and the evidence for Jesus living, dying, and raising from the dead is more than any historical figure. It is a fact that he existed. And the fact that he rose from the dead puts him in a class all by himself. Muhammad never rose from the dead. Buddha never rose from the dead. You can take any other religious leader of any sect, they are all dead and buried, and you can go to their tomb and they're still in it. But you go to the tomb of Jesus and it's empty because he rose from the dead. It puts him in a total different class. And if you take Jesus' own teaching, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Therefore, Jesus is either who he said he was, the only way, not one way, but the only way to God, or he was a fraud. He was a deceiver. You can't embrace him and just say, well, he was a great example, but he's not the only example. No, that's not what he said. He says you have to come through him. Nobody can reach the Father except through Jesus. So Jesus was either accurate or he was wrong. It cannot be a combination of the two. You can't say, well, he was wrong, but he was a great example and he did. No, he either was who he said he was or he was a fraud. You know, even Islam acknowledges Jesus and says that he's a prophet and a great prophet, but they don't believe he's the only way to God the Father. They do not worship the same God that we worship. Allah is not the same as the Lord God Almighty. And there is a huge difference between the two. And so this is a pivotal issue about the virgin birth and that Jesus was God manifest in the flesh. He is either who he said he was, and he's to be worshipped, or he is nobody. He's a fraud and he should be rejected. And this leaves no other options. I just know in my heart that there's people watching this program that you have maybe, you know, you've put him on a pedestal and you've said, oh, Jesus is a great man, but you aren't willing to make a commitment to him as God. But hopefully today the Lord is speaking to you through me and showing you that it can't be both of these things. He is either a deceiver and a fraud and someone to be hated and despised, or he is who he said he was and what he did was all accurate and true, and you need to submit yourself and worship him. He cannot be one way to the Lord. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I'm out of time today, but I encourage you to call. We've got a number on your screen. And if you want to make Jesus your Lord, you could call. Also, you can get these materials. So please call or write today.
Andrew's complete teaching series titled Lessons from the Christmas Story is available on either CD or DVD as seen on our daily TV program. Each is offered for a gift of any amount. Remember to specify the CD or DVD when you order. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page.
I know that the Lord was speaking to many of you through today's broadcast, and maybe you have come to grips with Jesus being the actual Son of God, the only way to the Father. And if you are ready to make a commitment, or if you would just like somebody to pray with you and help you to make that commitment or to get further information, we have a number on your screen. And they would love to pray with you and talk to you. We have some materials that could help you in your understanding too. So I encourage you to please take that number, call. You can get the materials that we're offering, lessons from the Christmas story, but you could also receive personal ministry and prayer. So please call that number today.
The second audio teaching in today's series is available for a gift of any amount when you contact us. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this second CD titled, How to Conceive a Miracle, free of charge. We'd also like to remind you that Andrew's book titled Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith has been released in paperback. It's available for a gift of any amount. Contact us today to get your copy. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Phoenix, Arizona for a Gospel Truth Seminar January 5th through the 7th, in Colorado Springs, Colorado for the Caris Bible College Men's Advance January 19th through the 21st, in Houston, Texas for a Gospel Truth Seminar February 9th through the 11th, and in Colorado Springs for Caris Bible College Campus Days March 14th through the 16th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
I've never had such good teaching, and I have been to Bible schools, Bible colleges. I graduated from a Christian high school. Nobody teaches like these here. You know why? Because they teach you to know Jesus.
Caris Bible College has been making disciples and changing lives since 1994, and we've outgrown our Colorado Springs facility. Phase one of our new Woodland Park CBC campus has been fully funded and completed, and phase two of the project is gearing up right now. Andrew and Jamie would like to give you the opportunity to join hands with them by becoming a foundation builder and contributing financially toward building the lives of CBC world changers. You can get more information by calling, writing, or logging on to awmi.net/partnership. Invest yourself in Andrew Womack Ministries and Caris Bible College today. Change your life. Change the world.
My dad was a Southern Baptist preacher, and he committed suicide when I was 5 years old. And I didn't really understand his death at the time, but I know I kind of got mad at God. Got really mad at God, actually. I decided that I was going to run from God, and I was never going to let anybody have that much control to hurt me that much ever again.
If God's expecting you to bear all things, God Himself will bear all things. If God is expecting you to love, believe at all times, then you know what? God will believe in you at all times, regardless of how many stupid things we do.
For more information, log on to awmi.net. Look to the left and click on Ministry News. Then click on Today's TV News Story. Find out what's happening with the world changers at Andrew Womack Ministries and Caris Bible College today.